and he's getting it. I mean, and I'm sitting there just wide-eyed, as I'd never heard that, you know? And I'm sitting there, and he's in there, and he said, "I'm going to tell you right now, you need Jesus in your life." He said, and he went walks up this, he gets on top of the bleach, of the bench.
He walks in the pews, ain't he? And he's walking
out the pew, buddy, and he's going down through there. And he goes up this fella on the front row, and he takes off, and he...
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Greg.
Boy, you guys are in for a treat today. Let me introduce you quickly to Brother Greg here. So he's our local tax collector, a.k.a.
Tax man.
Revenue commissioner.
Revenue commissioner. He's not Matthew.
That's right. I'm the revenue commissioner. I'm not the tax collector.
That's right. I write Greg a lot of checks every year, but that's not why he's here. So how I got to know Greg, obviously because he's just across the river in Locust Fork, neighboring town, but I served with him at Locust Fork Baptist Church. He's the worship pastor there. But then also some of you may not recognize his face, but will recognize his voice because he also broadcasts every Locust Fork football game and more. That's just the beginning.
Good.
Yeah. So that gives you an idea of who Greg is. Greg, tell us, introduce, take us back to Rimlap, and then let's get to storytelling.
Well, I was raised in Rimlap, which is a big area, you know. We don't even have a stoplight or many stop signs. But I was really raised in the suburbs of Rimlap.
Suburbs.
Outskirt.
Red Valley. Mm-hmm. Over there where there's three or four houses, you know. And when I was raised in Red Valley, it was like old farmland, you know.
Yeah.
There wasn't many people there. You didn't lock your car at night. You went... one of the highlights of my day was trying to find crawdads in the creek. You know, I had a horse, motorcycle, you know, just like you guys was raised, went hunting and all that kind of stuff. But I really got my start, at the old Rimlap school. Now, I know y'all went to Hayden. I went to Locust Fork, but I got my start at the old Rimlap school. There was two rooms. You had a upstairs was first, second and third grade, and one teacher. Downstairs was fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, one teacher, and you had a principal. That's all you had. So I tell my kids this story. The highlight of the day was basically to get assigned to go get the coal to put in that potbelly stove to heat the room. That's the truth. And my kids look at me and say, "Daddy, you're lying. This is like something on Little House on the Prairie." but it's the truth. That was a highlight. When you're a kid, to go out there, you want to get out of class and go get the coal, you know, and you bring it in there, and they'd stoke the fire, and they'd have it all ready. If a match had struck and hit that sucker, it would have burned up in about 2 minutes. It was old.
But. You kids didn't ask you like my son asked my wife yesterday. He said, "Were you alive when Daniel Boone was around?"
Well, I believe old Daniel went to this school, but it was similar like that. It was similar.
Yeah. He was a chartered member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get, I just remember a funny story going to, Miss Loftus was the principal. I'll throw her name out there. Everybody knows Miss Loftus. But I won't throw out all the names. I won't share with you. But I remember I didn't want to let Miss Loftus down by no means. She's like this woman, you know, you got people
put on a pedestal.
You don't want to let Miss Loftus down. But anyway, I was raised, you take care of yourself. Don't let nobody pick on you.
Oh, okay.
You know? Well, I got on the bus. I hate to say this, but my ears are the same size when I was first grade they are now. Had big old ears. And I was on the school bus, an old boy behind me in third grade. He's picking on this little kid, me. First grade, he starts thumping my ear. Ever had your ears thumped?
Oh, yeah.
Hurts. You know what I'm talking about?
Feeling.
Especially when they're big as mine was when I was in first
grade. Especially when it's cold.
Had a crew cut, looked good, you know.
And, lots of nerve endings.
That's right. That's right. So he starts thumping my ears. You know, so he's thumping. He's like, Greg, right neck. He thumped that ear. You know, tick me off, you know. I remember my dad said, "Boy, don't you let nobody pick on you. You know, don't you let nobody run over you. You take up for yourself." So times went on. Well, about 3 days in this, I was tired of getting my ear thumped.
It done swole up a little bit.
That's right. So the only thing I had to defend myself was a metal, I mean, back in the days, it was metal, Superman lunchbox. The old boy started thumping my ear. And I turned around and I said, "You thump my ear one more time, I'm going to bust you, man." So he kept thumping my ear. Greg, rotten egg, thumping my ear. Well, and all the might I had as a little first grader, I turned around and I planted that Superman lunchbox right in his face. almost knocked his tooth out. I went for the kill and bleeding out. Well, Lord, they stopped the bus. Lord, I'm traumatized as a first grader, but I was tired of getting my ears thumped. So the worst part of it was they get us to school. They take us, Miss Lawson. Lord, I was just pouring tears that time. I wasn't worried about my ears no more. And so I get in there and Miss Loftus, and the way she was, she said, "Boys, I don't know what happened." So I said that I get all emotional. I said, "He's bumping my ears, calling me Greg Rotten Egg, all that." And and then she hooks it and she said, "Is that what happens, boy?" And she looked over at that other boy and he said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." And she said this. She said, "Well, boys, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to whoop both of them." She said, "I'm going to whoop you because you shouldn't have been picking on a first grader. And I'm going to whoop you, Greg, because you should have went to the bus." I learned a valuable lesson there. Sometimes you don't take things in your own hands, but it was a very humbling experience for me in a two-room schoolhouse. I'm going to be honest with you. Had great memories there. That's how it all started with old Greg. We had fun and all that kind of stuff. But I learned a valuable lesson from Miss Lawson. It's always don't take it in your own hands. But we went on from there, and I grew up and rural like you guys did. Went hunting, fishing, doing all that kind of stuff. And I can remember when we went to the big Southeastern school. I mean, it was like going to some kind of metropolitan. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had real bathrooms. I mean,
they weren't outside.
No. And it had a lunchroom. We had never had no lunchroom. All the time we got to go to a lunchroom, we dressed up like pilgrims and Indians and went to the all good school, which is now the alternative school, which I probably should have been in more than I would.
For your Thanksgiving dinner.
For Thanksgiving. We dressed up. They had a real lunchroom and we got to eat up there. It was real nice. But when we moved into Southeastern, it was huge. I remember I wasn't at Southeastern Law. I was like the first elementary school kid enrolled there. I was the first one over, And so I'm in second grade, got this teacher named Miss Booker. So I'm sitting in my classroom and we're all sitting there doing our stuff. All of a sudden I'm looking up there and Miss Booker just goes, whoop, and she's just out. And they tell this story on me all the time. I remember opening that door and running down the new Southeastern school screaming, "Miss Booker's dead! Miss Booker's dead! Miss Booker's dead!" So they all come in there, and she had a little thing when she passed out.
Like Paul Revere, yeah. The British are coming.
Yeah, you were heralding, boy.
But it was kind of, I don't know, it could have took you away. You thought the woman died, you're second grade. I went from getting my ears and busting a man, and now I've got a woman passing out. So I started off school pretty rough. But she's okay. She is fine, and she is an elderly lady. And but I just remember the way she'd paddle you. Most people whoop your tail. Miss Loftus tore your tail up. She'd take you, make you put your hand out and get that ruler and slap it. That was a little bit, it was kind of bad.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
What got me really into local sport? Everybody says, "Why are you such a local sport guy?" When I was in the seventh grade, my dad had a car accident. I don't ever forget. It was December the 10th. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was at night. We got a call. My mom had to go to the hospital. I was kind of young. So in that day, I stayed and went to school the next day. Didn't know how bad it was. But he had had a wreck and he'd been paralyzed from his neck down. And so he lived 10 days and passed away. Well, you can imagine losing your dad on the 20th of December. That wasn't a real Christmas, but it was devastating and just a terrible thing. And you don't handle anything like that. It took a while to get over that for me personally. I love my dad. And he's a World War II veteran. If he's alive, I was an uh-oh baby because they had me late in life. They weren't supposed to have been able to have children. And I remember my mama telling the story. She went to the doctor and thought she's just sick. And he said, "Well, Miss Armstrong, I got good news and bad news." And I can't remember how old she was, but she said, "You're 40 something years old and you're pregnant." And she looked at him and said, "Well, Lord, what's the bad news and the good news? You said the bad news." And he said, "You're 40 something years old and you're pregnant and you smoke." And you didn't know you was pregnant. So I'm a uh-oh baby, but I'm glad I was uh-oh, late in life. Daddy almost 50, your mama.
Ooh.
And see, my daddy would be 104 if he's alive today. So wow. I told you a little bit about, you know, uh-oh, that I was. Uh-oh. So I'm thankful for uh-oh babies because I was one of them. But anyway, so I get on, you know, into life and dad, we lose dad. It was devastating. And I go through high school, had a great high school. I love Locust Fork. I was involved in everything. I was editor of the newspaper. I was involved in all that mess and had enjoyed it, you know. Had Coach Pate. Y'all know Coach.
Oh, yeah. He's talked about a lot on here.
Yeah,
the drug dog.
Well, let me tell you one funny story about Coach Pate before I keep going on that part of it. Yeah, he was our baseball coach and football. Yeah, he'd done all that. And we loved it. I loved Coach Pate. I worked for Coach Pate. He'd work you like a guarded dog. You know, I remember we built the baseball field. And we're in there, and he's got me digging. I'm 11 junior, and we're digging all these holes, setting all this stuff. And old Pate, he'd take care of you, though. He said, boys, you work hard, I'm gonna take you to the house. He had a swimming pool.
Oh.
So we go up there. Coach Pate sat back on his chair, and he'd get us a bologna sandwich. And he really would get, you know, splurged.
Taking care of splurged.
He splurged. And Coach Pate be sitting on that old he had this old chair recliner, and he'd dump his chips out on his chest. He'd go, lift him up there. Yeah. He said, you want one, Greg? I said, nah, I'm good. But anyway, he'd take care of it. That was just Pate. And then I can remember I chewed tobacco. You know, back in the day, most of us did. You know, you chewed tobacco. I don't no more. I'll tell you why I don't do that anymore, but down the road. But I chewed tobacco a lot. Well, I had been over to the store for school. Old Pate was in there. He saw me buy a whole cart.
Mm-hmm. What kind?
Red Man. Uh-huh. And so I get it, and I got Red Man in the car and the in my truck, you know, and I just get set down in my desk, and all of a sudden I get this call. Greg Armstrong, come to the front office. I go up there. And old Pate, he's sitting in the office there, and he says, boy, you know you ain't supposed to be chewing back. I said, I know. I ain't. It's in my car. He said, you know you can't have tobacco. And he opened his window, and he spit, and the tobacco juice run down the window. He said, go get that tobacco, you bought. Bring it up here. So he got me. Basically, he stole my tobacco. All right. So we put baseball practice that afternoon. I said, Coach, can I go to your truck and get the tobacco you stole from me? So I get a little bit of chew before the practice starts. Yeah, go ahead. Just get one pack.
Wow.
That's just pack. Just get one. And then pack. After he retired, they're all sitting in there. I was on school board, you know, and everything by that point. And we'll get into that later. But I remember him. He pulled up out front. And all of a sudden, a bunch of them sitting in there in the window, and something keeps hitting the window. They open the window, and it's old Pate out there. And he's got a rod and reel, and he's hitting that window with his bait, and he's rolling. He's, hey, boys, what y'all doing in there? Don't y'all want to go fishing? And that's just the way old Pate was. Yeah, he's just crazy.
Rub it in a little bit.
Loved him. But he was a big influence on my life. And I'll get to that, why he was such a big influence.
So he is a certified tobacco thief.
Oh, he is. He was a certified tobacco. Both cheeks and a pile of gum in his mouth when he coached third base. And when he was spit, he'd wear a white shirt and win, and it'd be all over front.
Well, Shane will have to help me with this. Coach Spinks told a story about Coach Pate when he was at Hayden. But was Coach – I don't want to do him injustice here. Was Coach Pate the one that kept the tobacco in the back of his blazer, or was Coach Pate the one that would go and get it?
One would go get it.
Oh, I know. He's been thieving his whole life.
The guy said, Spinks, the guy that Pate was taking it from, said, man, I'm going to quit chewing. And Spinks said, what in the world for? He said, man, that's too expensive. I'm spending about $30 a week.
And Coach Pate had been going every day and just taking one pouch out of it.
He'd take it from you, but he didn't think nothing about it. It wasn't good for you. But it was good for him.
It was good for him and his shirt.
That's right. It was just funny. He'd be coaching third. It'd take him forever to give a signal. You know, he used to, we didn't have these cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
You had an indicator. I don't know if could y'all have Coach Bailey? He used to coach against us, but he'd give an indicator. And he'd go to his arm, you know, and but it was funny. He'd go, we're going to go breast is bunt. Well, y'all won't forget it. You know, it starts with B.
B and B.
That's right. B. But anyway, he was a great guy. I loved him. He would get fired today. A lot of those old coaches get fired what he used to do. He'd come up, you'd be at the, walking down the hall. He'd come up behind you, and he would absolutely light you up. And you turn around and say, Coach, what's that for? He said, I know you're going to need one for the end of the day.
Well, he'd have a paddle walking down the hall.
Had it in his back pocket, yeah, with his chewed tobacco. That's old school.
That is old school.
That's old school blank can. That's why we was writing. And I, you know, this day and time, you'd be on the news and you'd be on Facebook and all that. But
in heaven and on the news is Robin Reed.
Yeah.
But that's just the way he was. I loved him. And everybody knew that. And if you got in a fight, it looked for him. You got the boxing and you finished it. My junior year, I'll never forget this. This is, you know, we laugh a lot, but this is probably the saddest time of my life. I'm going in my junior year. I'm taking my mama to the doctor. I just think it's the doctor. I'm just a kid, young, blowing and going. Care to Old Caraway.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Old Caraway? The Blue Star. Okay. That's right. Everybody remembers the Blue Star. Now it's going to be an amphitheater. Funny how life changes. But we carried down there. I waited. Lord, I waited in the, and out there in the lobby forever. And I thought, what is going on? You know, about that time, doctor come out. He says, who's here with the Armstrong family? I said, me. And he looked, he said, well, son, I don't really want to tell you this. Well, I knew then something wasn't real good. And so I said, well, you're going to have to. I said, I'm all she's got. It was basically me and my mom. And so he looks at me and he said, well, your mom's got stage 4 colon cancer. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I said, what does that mean? And he said, that means that she's got about maybe 3 months to live. Well, you talking about a guy going in your senior year, you done lost your daddy. Well, I was devastated. I was sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? And so she had a colonoscopy. Yeah. And had that put on the side and they trained me how to do all that. And so I knew how to do it. I can still remember when it was. It was July the 2nd, I believe it was, in the summer. When I said, well, I got to go tell him I can't go. I might quit. I got to take care of my mom. I went, Coach Pate was there and the principal was there. And, I walked in and I was kind of emotional. I said, I don't want to, but I'm going to have to quit. I said, I got to take care of my mom. I mean, that's all I got. She's all I got. They say she's got 3 months to live. I got to do it. And I was trained, you know, how to do that. And, they said, no. I remember Pate looked at me. He said, no, you're not quit. Cause we need you and you need us. And so I said, we'll help you through. So, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. It was summertime went. We got to school. I went to school. I was never going to. I'll tell you right now, a lot of times you won't get out of school. I wasn't ever going to take advantage of what they was offering. They wasn't many times. But there's 3 or 4 times I had to go home early or had to come in or they'd call me and I'd have to go. But they worked with me the whole time. They helped me through that, you know, when my mama lived. She lived through football, senior night. She was out there on the field with us. She lived through Christmas. She lived through me going to the prom. I remember I got pictures of me and her in my tuxedo. Well, right after the prom, she started going down. And 2 days before I graduated from high school, she passed away, which was devastating. But I can remember I was at that point, though. She had suffered so much. I prayed the Lord take her. I couldn't stand to see her. And my family stepped in and helped with me through that. But you can just say you graduate from high school, you ain't got your mom and your daddy. But the Locust Fork people, let me tell you something. I don't know how many people at the funeral home. They took me in. They took care of me. And from the night I was on that football field, I remember praying this prayer. Lord, if you ever put me in a position to help this play, I promise you. Well, the Lord did. Put me in position. I was raised up Church of Christ, but I became a Baptist a year after I graduated from high school and started going to local Baptist church. Some of my favorite times in my life was youth ministry. I loved it. I was a kid. I don't tell you how crazy local Baptist church was. They hired me as a 19-year-old kid to be the youth director, the children's director, and the music. All right? But I'm going to go back to the tobacco. I had 2 old boys. Never had an incident the whole time I was a youth director. I had 2 old boys. We went to Six. I used to carry them Six Flags, and we'd go to Whitewater. Well, they were smoking. Never had that happen. Boy, I cut them off to the side. I said, boy, let me tell y'all. I said, we ain't going to have no smoking on these trips. It's a church tree. And I won't ever forget what one of them looked at. He looked up and he said, well, what's the difference in us smoking and you chewing the back? And I look back, I look right at both of them. And I said, there ain't one thing different. I said, what I'm going to do, I'll never chew again if y'all won't ever smoke. I don't know if they held their end of the bargain, but I have never chewed since.
That was the last day.
That was it. I cut it off. I gave them a commitment and I wasn't going to do it. They was absolutely right. They wasn't a difference in it. But smoking is kind of like I heard a preacher one time say, you know, smoking ain't going to send you to hell. Just make you smell like you've been there. That's a lot of truth to that, you know, but
some of the best stories that we get on this show are from church.
Yeah. Well, I'll go back before I become youth director. Let me give you one. I was church crisis. It's kind of low key. Church crisis is not, it's a little bit low key. I was wanting to date this old. All right. So she went to this church and they, let me tell you something. Everybody's different. I am a charismatic. Really? I am. I love the Lord. Yeah, they don't excited. Bother me to shout and all that. But at the time, I was kind of scaredy, you know, when I never had been around anything like it. And let me tell you something. People want to shout. I don't care. That's praise the Lord. You do what the Lord leads you to do. But at that time, I was a little kid, you know, 16. I won't date this little girl. She was real pretty. And so I went to this church. It was a little country church. And the preacher, he was really getting into it. I won't ever forget. The only way I know to do it is just do it, you know.
So he's up
there. I mean, he's just up there preaching, and he's getting into it. I'm talking about, glory to God. I tell you right now, you need Jesus in your life. I mean, he's getting it. I mean, and I'm sitting there just wide eyed. I'd never heard that, you know. And I'm sitting there, and he's in there, and he said, I'm gonna tell you right now, you need Jesus in your life. He said, and he went walks up this. He gets on top of the bleach of the bench.
He walks. And he's walking pews,
out
ain't he?
Pew, buddy. And he's going down through there, and he goes up this fella on the front row. And he takes off and he rears back and he goes slap. He says, brother, girl, you so and so, you love Jesus. Ah, yeah, glory to God. And he slaps him. I'm thinking, oh, buddy, don't come back here. That's a time.
I got
I'm
a lunchbox.
I'm a nerve.
That's the last time somebody flicked me on the air.
No, but it made me a nervous wreck. But I remember that, you know, and so he's preaching and he gets up there and I get to enjoying it. You know, I was nervous. I don't know if he's going to come slap me or what, but I was nervous, but I just remember that, you know, and it was a Baptist church. It's funny. I become a Baptist.
Yeah.
You know, but I never had nobody slap me, but I hope not anyway.
Still.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed that spirit in there, you know, and everybody does it different, but I just remember being scared to death as a kid, you know, but I started dating that little old girl. And here's one becomes the most influential person in my life was Mumbo. That's what we call her. My grandmother, she had 13 kids. She was born in 1902. Mm. I think that's right. And she had 13 kids, 8 boys, 5 girls. When my parents deceased, she raised. Mumbo, it gave me a lot of wisdom. And she also, one day, I remember she said, boy, you need to pray for your grandmother. You need to pray for your grandmother. And I said, why, Mumbo? She said, because I need to practice. I need to pray and you need to practice. I don't ever forget. So yeah. She said that. She always had a way of kind of turning things around like that. Then she, one time I remember this was kind of a life lesson. I'd got mad at somebody at the church and they were big, you know, in the church. And I said, I ain't going back down there, Mumbo. She said, why? I said, well, they done this, they done that. Ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites down there. I ain't going back down there. They done made me mad. And she said, well, I'd show God.
That'll teach him.
And I said, what do you mean it show God? So I show God. Don't go back. Go down there. She said, I tell you what them hypocrites are. They're closer to the Lord than you are. And I said, what do you mean? She said, because they stand in between you and
me.
You know, there's a lot of truth to that. Mm-hmm. She said, why are you going to that church? Boy, are you going for them or are you going for him?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, Mumbo had a way.
I always like the folks that say, you know, ones that say, well, church is full of hypocrites. And then they say, well, did you go to Walmart last week? Well, yeah, I had to go get some groceries. Well, yeah. You know how many hypocrites go to Walmart?
Let me tell you this, and I'm not getting spiritual on anybody, but I'm going to tell you, we all got faults. Mm-hmm. We all fall short. We all bunch of sinners. Praise mm-hmm. the Lord. But that grace covers us, and I'm thankful for it. But that woman led me to the Lord. And she's been planted the
she
Lord.
She brought
in my
you
life.
Back a few times, yeah, too.
She straightened you out and love on you. Biggest influence in my life. I'll never forget her. I have to give her credit for everything good out of me had to come from old Mumbo.
My favorite, I'm going to add mine to the hypocrite statement because it's prevalent. Yeah. That excuse is used wide.
It is.
Far my and favorite wide. One is there's a bunch of hypocrites down there. We got room for one more.
That's right. Because we all fall short.
At the end of the day, every single person has a mask that they put on.
That's right.
At some point or another. Everybody. I never met anybody didn't.
Everything looks good on Facebook. Y'all tied it up. Everybody's smiling. They like knock each other's teeth out getting to church.
That's right. Yeah, you stopped arguing.
Yeah, get in this car, boy.
That's it.
Charlie, get in this car.
I remember some of the worst spots my wife and I ever had. And then we go on the way to church and you walk in the church doors and you straighten that tie up.
Yeah.
We in love with one another today.
That's just life. That's the truth. I mean, we all deal with it. We all deal with it. Because life's tough.
Let me do one for you, the church. Let me do one more church one because you gave us a great great illustration with going to a different kind of Baptist church.
That's right.
Well,
I've been waiting to tell this story. You go ahead. You go ahead. I got one more too after this.
You got one?
I got one.
I got one. Shane and I have always went to church. We've never went to church together.
Yeah.
Well, Shane goes to Union Grove Missionary Baptist Church. Well, I've always gone to a Baptist church, but not the same as Shane. It's just a little. Ain't nothing wrong. Right. I'm not that's saying right. One's higher than nothing.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it's
on.
Different. It's different.
It's different.
Go ahead on. Talk some more about it.
Well, here's where I wasn't going to church at all.
Yeah.
Which happens to a lot of, especially males,
yeah.
from 18 to into their 20s. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to the church of the oak tree, the church of the pine tree, the church of the pond, and that's what I was doing in my life. Well, Shane he was faithful. He didn't do what I did. He kept going. He kept going to church. Well, he told me, why don't you come church with me? For you. You know,
I'll do it. I'll go.
So I went over there one Sunday morning and didn't know what to expect. I just thought all churches were the same. I'd never been to any different kind of church except for the Assembly of God. Now that was different.
That's the way I was. That's the way I was.
Well, I went in there, sitting with Shane. I think we was up there close to the front. And that old boy got stirred up.
Yeah.
And he didn't slap anybody.
No, I didn't slap nobody.
But he was talking about, I hope y'all brought you sack lunch today. This is sack lunch Sunday. Boy, we fixing to get after it. Well, my mind went to thinking.
Well, what he was preaching, and it's funny, this is exactly the story I was going to tell. He was preaching on the little boy that brought the lunch to feed the 5,000 because he had
he forgot that story.
I'm going to tell you here in a minute why I wasn't paying attention to that part of it.
So he was preaching on, you know, the little boy that brought the five loaves and, or ever how many, and a few fish.
Yeah.
That's where he was at. And that's where he had taken that thought of sack lunch. So continue on. Sorry.
He gets up, he's preaching about this sack lunch.
I'm enjoying the message. I mean, this
you're
is...
You're in tune with the Lord.
I'm here. I know exactly where he's at.
He needs the Lord, and you're in tune with the Lord.
I hadn't even heard anything about Jesus or fish or bread or even tied any of that together. All I heard was, this old boy's probably going to preach to 2 or 3 o'clock today, and I didn't bring a sack lunch. And I'm looking around in the church, and I'm thinking...
didn't know what was going on. I remember this. Philip looking... around.
I was looking to see if people had a brown bag sack lunch with them. And I leaned over to Shane and I said, did you bring enough for me to have a little bit?
So what are you talking about?
And the whole time he's up there just bow, bow, bow. Just getting that glory. And I'm thinking about is I'm hungry.
He said, I didn't bring a lunch.
You invited me to church and didn't tell me to bring no food to get me through the end of the service.
Oh, man.
I said, buddy, I got plenty for you. Don't worry about you have some of mine.
And, of course, he wrapped it up about 11:50 and we left. But, boy, that eased my mind.
He wasn't wanting the word. He wanted some food.
No, I was there for the word. But when he told me it was good, I thought 2 or 3 o'clock. Oh, man, I said, we in a mess here.
Philip didn't know he was really a good Baptist already.
I was more concerned with eating afterwards.
That's right. But I will say one more thing. It was funny.
Please.
I went to a revival service one time.
Oh, yeah.
It was just funny. And the woman didn't mean nothing by it. And the guy down there, the daughter didn't mean nothing. But you know how you get to the, you get in the spirit and everybody's going to the altar.
Yeah, you know how you get in the spirit.
Well, but everybody's at the, I mean, they people getting their lives changed. But they, and they, well, stuff happens sometimes that you don't realize is going to happen. But I'm just a bystander in this deal. And I'm standing there on the second row. Won't never forget it. And the Lord been moving on me a little bit too, you know. But I hadn't went to the altar. But you know, things funny happen in church. But,
oh, do
so
we?
I'm sitting there and all of a sudden this woman goes. There's this man already down there at the altar. They in revival. And there's this man at the altar. He's pouring his heart out. All of a sudden this woman comes. She's got this big dress on. Well, when she kind of goes to get down on the altar, her dress comes up and goes over his head. I promise you. I won't ever forget it. Lord, I won't ever forget it. And I see it happen from the second row on the left. And I'm I was just thinking, Lord, I mean, bless his heart. You know, because he's praying. He got his eyes closed. And she ain't meaning nothing by it. She just gets there and she just had a big dress. And he got over his head. He's bald headed too. I just remember that. But you know, but I just remember how funny that was. And that guy just kind of went,
hey, what are we doing here?
Wow.
The spirits done come down on him.
And he probably didn't know what was happening. You know, that was just the
that funny. Might have been the reason why. You know what, Greg? That's exactly why. We have the women pray on this side, the men pray on this side. That's exactly what took place. That might be a good thing,
but I heard this story.
They probably, they might have been there. I don't know. Yeah. But I just remembered that it was kind of comical. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but I saw it.
I've always wondered
how I was distracted.
I'm sure.
You've been distracted in church. I was distracted then. I thought, what's going to happen right here now?
You know,
this could go in a lot of different ways.
There's some friends that you can't sit by in church.
Yeah.
We were in church and the evangelist will not say his name. Wonderful man.
Yeah.
But when he tied his tie, he's a pretty good size boy. He's not a heavy set boy. He's just a bulky, I mean, muscled up.
Yeah.
Older gentleman, but he's muscled up. But when he tied his tie, he must have not, I don't know, he couldn't have looked in the mirror. Because the point of it was about right here.
That wasn't a tie, that was a high.
He was getting it ready for a midget.
I don't know what he was getting it for, but he had this much space between his belt buckle and the top of his tie, or the bottom of his tie.
Oh, shorty.
And son, he got up there and was preaching.
Yeah.
And
you couldn't get over that tie.
I couldn't look at him preaching.
Oh.
And Courtney was in
eyeshot.
The devil
will use anything to get our attention.
And she was locked in on me and just wide-eyed. Like, right. She knew if she ever caught my eye, I was going to lose it. And I'm sitting in the front, you know. And as he's preaching, as our preachers do, get a little animated, that old tie is just a-flopping, you know, up here. And I'm talking about...
We all been there. But I remember one thing. I was in church. I was the music minister. Robert Sawyer was the associate pastor, and he got up and he was doing the opening welcome and the prayer. Well, we had this guy in our church. I'll not name no names.
Don't do it.
Please don't.
But he had a lot of kids. He had a tough time getting to church, I know. When he walked in that church, I promise you, his hair looked like somebody teased him. There hadn't been no comb hit the hair that morning. He just got out of bed, forgot to comb his hair. And it's standing straight up, and it got Robert's attention while he was praying. All right, he called on brother, I think our other preacher to pray, but when he got through, he looked over to me, he come over to me, and I seen it, and you know, you couldn't not notice it.
Yeah.
You know, it was in the little church that time, so anything happened, you knew it, you know. So he walks in the back door, and that hair, I mean, it's ridiculous looking. And he comes over and he said, brother, when you get praying in a minute, pray that brother so and so can find him a comb.
I got a special prayer request.
And so here I got to go lead the song, and I'm all choked up, and turning red, and everything else. It was all I could do. But just funny things happen sometimes.
That's church. We love church stories.
Oh, I do. Let me tell you something. And I spent half my life in church.
The other day we were speaking to Courtney. We were at their oldest son got baptized the other day, and we were at his at the river for his baptizing. Well, Matthew officiating the service, he's taking care of the business of the service, and he said, "Hey, the kids are going to sing a song special for us." And Matthew's got some rounders for little boys.
Oh, I know.
Dean and
gonna be good athletes.
Oh, they're gonna be fine athletes. But Dean and Brent were and Morgan and Covey was gonna sing "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And Covey was a little hesitant because he doesn't sing that one quite often, but I convinced him because Morgan and Dean and Brent were there. Hey, just go up here and help him. He said, okay, I will. Well, and this is live broadcast. You know, they were doing a live on Facebook so that everybody that couldn't come to the baptizing could watch the baptizing. And Matthew's standing there and he's got Dean and Brent and they start. They set in. "I have decided to follow Jesus." And they got into the second. "I have decided." And you hear Brent go, "Brr," just let out the biggest belch I have ever out of a three-year-old.
Yeah.
And Matthew's eyes, again, just Daddy. Fixated on him. Like, I am fixing to lose my mind. But he couldn't do anything about it because we're on live broadcast, right?
Yeah.
So when Brent lets out the belch, the rest of the singing stopped it's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Covey loses. Covey starts cackling and laughing. I'm laughing.
You can't fault anybody.
Fault anybody. And Matthew's is red.
It just happened.
Oh, it was so funny.
He was ready to kill him.
Ready to kill him because he couldn't do anything about it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I can remember sitting in a pew and thinking, you know, your mama, she won't take you outside.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember those times. He's, you know, you put her right there on the edge or whatever. I've been there. Yeah, I've been. I got the worst whooping I ever had in my life. I can remember was took out of church one time. I thought she's going to beat me to death. She's going to have to repent for what she did.
Yeah, she took it beyond the Bible on that.
She got out. If she had got a switch, it'd probably been a log. She had intention, I think, on killing me. But that's one of the worst whoopers I ever got. But
Mama wouldn't let me sit with my friends, so I was probably in high school.
That was probably a good thing.
Well, she knew that it was that I wasn't going to act right.
It was a disaster on the way.
Till you take a job, you don't know what you do. You got to figure it all out once you get in. Well, I was used to this modern stuff. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. The revenue office was ancient. We had a green screen when I went in office. And you just matching F1, F2. Well, I had to figure all that out, you know. And so I'm in my office one day, and I'm on that thing, and I won't tell you what happened in the first 3 weeks I'm on a job there, okay? So I'm sitting there mashing all these buttons, F1, and figuring it out, getting, you know, and I'm entrenched in that. Well, all of a sudden, I always keep my door open, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And this woman comes, and she said, "Greg Armstrong." Well, it startled me. Like, basically scared me.
You're thinking F2.
I turn around. She's about 80-something year old, you know? And she's in there, and that woman commences to talk about me. I'm just being honest with you. If my mama had been standing, if Mumbo had been standing, that woman couldn't have bragged on me any more than that woman bragged. And I didn't have a clue who she was, but she's from Rimland. That's all I knew. And I'm not going to name no names. I didn't know her name until on after that. But anyway, she goes on, starts talking to me about how thankful they are and proud they are of me from Rimland, being in that job, you know. And so we go on, and she talked about 20, 30 minutes. And then she says, "Greg, if you got time, I got something I want to show you. I want you to touch." Well, that's kind of startling, even for an 80-something-year-old woman. Before I could get anything out of my mouth, I didn't know what she was talking about. She walks around my office. Well, I look, and she's got a prosthetic leg. Well, you know, what do you say? I said, "That's nice." That's nice.
It's one of the finest ones I've ever seen.
But I'm going to be honest with you. It was like one I hadn't seen. It had an American flag on it and all this kind of stuff. It was to do, you know. I said, "That is nice." And she said, well, I won't take this thing off. I want you to hold it. Don't you touch it. It's like feeling a little real leg. I said, no. That ain't necessary. All I could think in my head was, that woman's going to hand me that leg. She's going to fall out here, and everybody's going to be saying I'm going to be some kind of idiot, you know. I said, no, that ain't necessary. That ain't necessary. So she went on telling me the story about the leg and all that kind of stuff. Well, all my staff is listening to this. You know, they're getting a kick out of all this because you never know what's going to happen off the courthouse. So she goes on. She said, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm thinking to myself, what else she got brought there? You know, that's what went through my mind. You know, she said, when I reach right around here and I flip this switch, it's baby lights. I'm telling you, when she flipped that switch, that baby lit up. So I'm sitting there, Mom. I said, now that is nice. All I can say,
I'm impressed.
I'm hearing all this chatter in the back.
That is nice.
I said, now that is nice. And she starts wanting to take it off me. Hold it. I said, no. So she gets on her way and she thanks me and I love that lady. She was one, but it was just comical how that happened right off the bat. Christmas come. My staff gets me all this stuff, you know, and they get, oh, I got this big box. Give me a shirt and tie and all this. And they give me this big box. They said, open that up right there. I said, all right. And so open it up. It was a leg lamp. They said, in honor of your first. Difficult customer. So I wasn't a difficult customer. So I got it sits on my stand. If you come to my office, there's a leg lamp right there in honor of her.
And it goes right with his story.
That's right. And I couldn't get off here without telling one last.
Tell us.
I got into radio. You know, I done a little bit of the radio in the 90s. Well, Robbie McAlpine bought the radio station. And he came to me, and this is how all the new radio stuff started. He came to me and he said, Greg, we're going to start this thing on an app. WCRL and ever. Who's going to have their own Wildcat network. Oh, Robert Bradford, one of my buddies. Oaks Fork's going to be the Hornet network, but we want you to pilot. It was 2014. He said, and what are they going to do? They're going to be able to hear you on the radio if you on the regular radio at times, but they'll also be able to hear you on their phone. Well, in 2014, I'm thinking, or they can hear you on the internet on the computer. I'm thinking, there ain't nobody going to be listening to no phone on no radio. I mean, for no broadcast, yeah. Thinking he's crazy. Well, Oaks Fork was playing North Jackson. His first year, we'd done this thing. And they're playing North Jackson, and a lot of people didn't think we could beat North Jackson, and I don't know that we thought we'd beat. But in the middle of that game, there's this kid from Oaks Fork. I'm telling you, he comes up from linebacker spot, and he knocks this kid out. Causes a fumble. I didn't even know I'd said it. And all of a sudden, I said, hand off number, hand off to blah, blah, blah. And I said, and here comes such and such. And I said, howdy, doody, tooty, fruity. He just knocked his head off just like that. And I didn't think nothing about it. Just went on broadcast. Oaks Fork won the ball game. Well, I get on Facebook and all over Facebook, it said, did y'all hear Greg Armstrong say howdy, doody, tooty, fruity? And so it's become that phrase that I do. So. That's where that came from. A lot of people.
The tagline.
It just, you know how you say something. You don't even realize it came. I don't even know what howdy doody tooty fruity. I remember howdy doody, but tooty fruity came from something else. But I just said it and it happened. And now that's what people know me by when I broadcast howdy doody tooty fruity. If you get howdy doody tooty fruity, you done something.
You done a big play. That's right. And so that's what it's always coupled with.
That's right.
Well, let's do. We got two other little things before we go. Let's have our scripture time. And then we're going to end with Shane's all-time favorite. You look just like Covey. That face. y'all is a spitting image of one another, that discouragement. But let's do our scripture time real quick. Well, so a little background with Ephesians. So Paul's obviously writing this letter, the Apostle Paul, and to the Ephesian church and also other churches, but this will be the recipients at this time. But when you get down to verse 15, he starts talking about how he's going to pray for them. So I'm going to read that to you. So verse 15 says, that's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Very simply, how often do we thank God for fellow believers?
Yeah.
How often do we thank God for our family? And I know we're quick to go and ask for what do we need?
That's right.
Well, because it's on our heart. That's what we, I need this, Lord. I'm coming to you. I need this. But I just want to bring it to your attention. That was the first part of that prayer that he was talking, telling the Ephesians what he prayed for them for. And he started by, but he thanked God for them. So I think there's a lesson. If you're not praying, they'd be praying. If you are praying, we need to be thanking God for fellow believers, our family, our friends, and all those around us.
Amen. And I'm thankful for you guys. Appreciate what you do, because we all need laughter.
Oh, boy.
And we all need, that's a good medicine. The Bible says that. And we all need it. And I think you bring it in a special way, a unique way, and Blount County way.
It is. It's absolutely Blount County.
And everybody in Blount County can relate, and even in other places. But y'all do a great job. It's a blessing. Thank you for having me.
Word game, real quick. Now, Greg, this may get cut and may not. You usually don't get cut because Lord. It's good. It's so simple. We are going to make a sentence one word at a time, and it just goes in order. Well, you're the honorary guest, so you get to start it this week. You just start the sentence with one word. I'll go next. I'll say a word. Shane will go a word. You'll come back, and we're going to try to make a sentence. But if you pause for 3 seconds, you lose.
So what you're saying, I just got to say a word.
One word is all you get. You start the sentence.
I got my word.
And then we're going to keep going until we fail or Shane passes out or gets mad and walks out. One of the two. He hates it.
This
I
may
love
get
it.
Cut. Jesus
is
the
King.
Amen. That's a good sentence.
There is no buts or howevers or whichevers.
Just amen's all he came with. That's right. I'll start one. That was pretty good.
Jesus.
Around
town,
there
is
a
crazy
man
who
is
always
eating
food
at
the
diner
downtown
Aniana.
Period.
That could be period. Me.
Yeah, that's you later today.
I might be Greg.
Brother Greg, we've had a lot of fun. We're going to tie it up for this week here at the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
And I'm Greg.
We'll see you guys next week.